I'm Hillary Clinton. We're between seasons on my podcast, You and Me Both. But this week, we're dropping a special bonus episode because, let's face it, these are extraordinary times. I'm talking to Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, about the violent insurrection on January 6th. I'll also be talking about how we can move forward as a country. Listen to You and Me Both on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Thing, on iHeartRadio. It's my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers.
I always like to say I like being an actress, but I love being Kristen. So I've prioritized that a little bit more than my, like, desire to spread my wings or prove to people that I can be some dramatic actress.
If you like listening as much as I like talking with interesting people, go to heresthething.org and subscribe now on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Serious Rapture is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rapture to you.
Yo, mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. We back in the building. Josh is shaking the table.
Yep, my bad.
And this is episode, is this
118?
118, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh Evos.
And yeah, we about to get in quick and dirty. How you been, Josh?
I'm good, man. You are? I'm good. Yeah. Yo, so my mom ordered not a Tempur-Pedic bed, like, you know, the beds I'm talking about where it, like, it moves up.
Okay.
Like it, like a hospital bed type shit, right?
Right, right. But I love how you immediately.
I had to tell you this because this shit is wild. So it's one of those joints, but it's just the frame. The bed doesn't do that. Like, her mattress, I had just bought her a new mattress.
Just the frame ago. Moves, you mean?
Just the frame moves up. I mean, like, it moves the bed, but it's only the frame that moves. Like, the bed doesn't have nothing in it.
I'm following you. Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's just the frame that does that on its own. I was like when we was at the joint, the furniture store looking at it, I was like freaked out. I was like, how does that work? Like,
yeah.
Apparently, like the mattress, I bought her a new mattress like a month ago. Shit, my bad.
No.
It was nice. One of those nice, like, bed in the box joints too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was a nice joint. She she wanted one of those beds that could, like, lift up because, you know, she older and shit. You know what I mean? And she liked to, like, lay in her bed and watch TV and shit. So, she got the joint and, you know, she was like, oh, try it out. Check out, see how it is. And, like, it could raise up on the bottom too. So, like, you can raise your legs up a little bit too.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, dog. I was sitting in that joint like, man, I'm gonna have to order me a fucking, an old person
bed. Yo.
This shit is comfortable.
That's how you know when you're getting old, when you start organizing your life around comfort.
Oh, yeah.
Like physical comfort, dog. When I was a teenager, and my family can co-sign this. When I was a teenager, I got a futon. One of them, like, metal joints with, like, the barely, you know how you go over, like, your homie's house, he had, like, a futon in the crib, like, y'all sit on that motherfucker and smoke and watch, like, smack DVDs and shit. I slept on one of those probably from, like, I want to say, like, junior year until I was, like, 19.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I know that shit. I used to, like, throughout my 20s, like, after that, I used to get, like, random back pains. Or, like, my back would be thrown out.
I bought so much furniture, like, from stores off the avenue where it's just like, yo, it's terrible. This shit is not meant to last.
See, major cities now are like, gentrified. Yeah. So y'all niggas, y'all don't know nothing about that. But, like, going to buy, like, $100 bed,
yeah,
y'all don't know nothing about that. So a bed does not cost $100.
No.
It should absolutely cost more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely have bought, like, mattresses and shit.
Mattress and box spring, $99. Like,
listen.
Sounds good to me. Bring that shit to the crib. It's probably got all types of bed bugs and shit in it. Like,
the refurbished joints?
Yeah.
It could be like, you ever see American Horror Story?
No.
there's a scene in American Horror Story where they lay down on one of the beds and it's just like a nigga inside of it. Like, he just like reach up out the bed like Freddy Krueger. That's like half of what you was getting with the refurbished mattresses.
Yeah, dog. You listen, man. Like, you should not be able to order shit, like get shit legitimately, like right off of just the regular avenue. Like, furniture isn't like that.
No. Know? Hell no. You got like the lacquer.
Yeah. Everything is lacquer.
Black lacquer shit.
Yeah, everything
with like
shiny.
The gold trim shit.
I was thinking the same thing.
Listen.
That's dog, listen.
Don't bring that shit to your crib.
When I worked at Rent-A-Center, there was one bedroom set everybody ordered, dog. It was called Black Matrix.
Listen.
And it was like lacquered black and like chrome, quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
It fucking just was silver plastic.
Listen.
And like all this chrome all over it, and it had a mirror right in the middle of the joint. Everybody, especially everybody young.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody young who came in there to get bedroom furniture, they wanted Black Matrix.
If you ordered that, a John with a jersey dress would show up at your crib immediately after you ordered that, ready
to
smash.
A jersey dress and some kids.
Come on.
You know what I mean?
Y'all don't know nothing about that. Come on.
But, yeah, dog, she ordered that joint. I was legit sitting in there like,
mad comfortable.
Might have to order this joint. I got a little bread.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to order this joint. It wasn't crazy expensive, neither. It was only like $600.
Oh, shit. Word.
Which wasn't crazy. Like, I mean, as far as like, dude, them Tempur-Pedic joints, I'm just like a couple grand.
Yeah.
So, but they said like I was talking to the furniture boy and he was like, oh, yeah. He was like, those shits is like old now, like that Tempur-Pedic. He was like, you can just get the frames. He was like, and the frames like $600, and he was like, that shit just moves like straight up, like it's just got like hydraulics in it and shit.
Yeah, I'm like low key traumatized by like the thought of hospital beds.
Yeah, exactly.
I spent 2 months in a fucking hospital bed. My back is just getting right from that. Like I still stretch and expect to feel like that pain down there, but it's like, I would say like 99% gone now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never again.
I feel you.
If I get fucked up, just like throw me in the ocean like Megatron. Like, don't fuck it. Don't send me to a hospital again. I don't want to do it.
I feel you. Yeah. I don't blame you. Honestly, I really don't. Like, you know, you spend a little time in the hospital, bro. I completely understand that.
I'm traumatized by the thought of a hospital bed.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, like, sit there, like, get legs up, watching some TV. Got your laptop on your lap.
Right.
When y'all start seeing me post pictures of my legs up,
just know that I'm in an old people hospital bed.
Yeah, hey, man, you know.
I organized so much of my life around like just do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Feel how I want to feel, whatever. Now it's like comfort is like a high principle for me. Physical comfort.
Yeah.
Because you get older, your shit, it don't feel the same.
Oh, man. Like, yo, you can sleep weird and like your neck hurt for a week. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Like somebody hit you with the DDT.
Yeah.
The chick the snake shit. Yeah,
so I don't want to get like, you know, belly to back suplex. What I mean?
Fuck that.
Nah. So that's definitely I get that. Like, there's a lot of like wanting to make sure I'm comfortable in all aspects of everything.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, we spent a good amount of our years, you know what I mean, working for motherfuckers and lifting and both of us have had very physical jobs in the past. Yeah. Both of us worked for like Target overnight and like unloaded fucking trucks.
The worst, like that. Physically and spiritually, the worst job.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to like. I want like my years now to be like, oh, it's comfort.
Yeah,
shit. Like
nice things.
Yeah,
not talking about selling out.
No.
Yeah, but you know, not really.
Definitely selling out.
You know what I'm saying? But just, you know, live like a nice, comfortable life.
Yeah.
Niggas is tired of like, you know, barely holding on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like fighting for survival and shit.
That's, moving on up.
Yeah, yo, that's
to the east side. I mean, you know, it is what it is, dog.
Deluxe gentrified apartment in the sky.
With a roof deck.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, niggas not trying to be, you know.
Listen, dog, I live good times, baby. I'm not trying to live that shit forever.
Scratching and survive. It ain't like, you know, like you meet like hipster white folks to like play poor.
Yeah.
Or like white punks. Yeah. That was the thing when we lived in West Philly. West Philly's like a rapidly gentrifying area all over West, but particularly the neighborhood that we lived in, Cedar Park, is like white punks, you know, yuppies, you know, white leftists, shit like that. A lot of white leftists and punks like play poor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they like legit have motherfuckers who are like, what do they call it? Like the where they dig in the trash to get food. They're like,
yeah, dumpster diving and shit. Like, oh yeah. No,
I was gonna say trashitarians.
Trashitarians. honestly, that could be a name right now. I do not
know. It? Like, but yeah, like you said, dumpster diving,
second harvest, shit like that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
They like pretend to be, you know, poor, but you know, meanwhile, like their parents are sending them,
yeah,
like a stipend or an allowance, mm-hmm, or something. Yeah,
they're
shit.
Paying the rent for them, yeah, and shit like
we're not,
that.
We're not on that wave. No. Legitimately fucked up out here. Shit is looking like it's getting better. It's turning the
making
corner.
That turn.
Come on, we gotta
start showing up
shit.
The functions with two different pairs of sneakers. Because like the, you know what I mean?
Is that NBA shit? That yeah, we doing.
Yeah, the freshness has worn off a little bit. You know what I mean? So now I need to change it up, to change the whole swag of the outfit. You know, that's when you know.
If you see me out here with that shit, you know I'm bugging. I just love that idea of like just going completely left on niggas because you came up a little bit. I love it.
I can't wait to floss on people, dog.
I'm editing that
so
out.
Hard, yeah.
Edit that shit out.
No, but yeah, I definitely I like, dog. Listen, man, like for real, though. Like we've both worked shit jobs.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And like this shit, we hated. Like, we're in a position now to be working on, like, creative ideas and do shit like that. And it's like, I want to be comfortable and do shit I want to do. Like, I don't want to, you know, like, if I didn't want to be comfortable, I'd still be working some fucking nut-ass job that I hate.
And people are trying to pay us.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. We got to do, like, a worst jobs. John and Josh worst jobs episode. Because y'all need to hear about, like, me at Temple, like, carrying dead people to the morgue and shit. We gotta go in one day.
I used to work at a nursing home where you would go help, like, it was apartments for older people, then like assisted living, and then like the nursing home. So it was like three sections of the same place, and I did like housekeeping in all of them, right? Mm-hmm. So like when somebody would fall, an older person would fall, and they'd have to go to like assisted living from the apartments. You'd have to go to the apartment and tell them like, oh, well, you can take like your nightstand and your dresser and your TV. You know? So they went from like an apartment where they had all their shit and all that kind of stuff. You tell them they could take the stuff that they needed, and then you take that over to the fucking assisted living for them, and then you would take the rest of their shit and sell it. You would take it to like a storage room where it would get sold in like a
the storage war thing. Shit. Were they like betting on like
you would take their stuff and sell it, and then that money would go toward their paying for the assisted living.
That's like awful.
If it was, they weren't going back to the apartment,
right?
But like a lot of times they weren't. Like they'd fall and break their hip or some shit, and then like
fuck.
So you tell them like, oh, you can only take these things, and then from that you would go, oh. If they would have to go from the assisted living to the nursing home, which happened essentially anyway, you'd be like, okay, you could take your nightstand. They have a TV.
Shit.
So it's like the shit that you could take. So like you would whittle them down piece by piece. Dog, you talk about depressing as fuck.
Taking away. And then you're young, but you're thinking like, damn, is this going to be me when I
like
get older?
Somebody is literally just taking away your possessions and then eventually selling them.
Yeah. We're definitely, like, we love y'all listeners, but we're definitely going to come back and traumatize y'all.
Yeah, y'all want to be depressed?
I got that story. We can move on, but yeah, the story of me with my coworker walking to the bank and me carrying, like, 40 stacks on me and then seeing a guy get shot in the back.
Oh,
we're definitely telling that story. worried. Like, shout out the bull. I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna come back. Nah.
Probably definitely not.
No, he was moving around. Like
he was wiggling.
I'm not laughing at that.
He was wiggling like a glowworm and shit.
Yo, they definitely hit my man up, and I got like 40 bands on me. I'm like in a hood that I'm not familiar with at all. I'm looking around like, oh shit, like what's happening here? Yeah, we gonna do. Maybe that'll be like a banked episode. Yeah. We're gonna come back and do like a worst jobs. We just count them down and just tell fucked up stories.
Yeah, listen, man, I've had easily 20 jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Not more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've easily worked. Like, my last gig before, like, we started doing more shit, more full-time, more creative shit full-time, I was at for a long time. But before that,
right.
Hop Along was my name, dog.
Yeah.
I legit quit a gig one night just calling in. I called out and was like, they were like, yo, you calling out again? I was like, matter of fact, I'm just not coming back.
You don't like call outs, nigga? How you like random quits?
Yeah. So yeah, I got plenty of them. Plenty of terrible, terrible jobs that no one should have to work.
Let's fucking do it. Let's come back and we're gonna traumatize y'all sufficiently. You know what I mean? And then we're gonna tie it up. We're gonna tie the bow. Like, you know, you can get past all of that.
Yeah.
And you can mature as an adult and you can kind of find your way. It'll be good. It'll be real good.
Yeah. You want to take a quick break?
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's take a break and let's come back.
All right.
Tomorrow night, it's the biggest night of the year for podcast fans. Our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards.
These are really some of the best and brightest and smartest and most compelling minds in the country.
Celebrate the podcasts we've leaned on for laughs, headlines, stories to get our adrenaline pumping, and voices to comfort us.
This is a huge honor.
We did it!
Thank you to my listeners, because without them, this wouldn't happen.
Don't miss our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. Watch on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook, and listen on our iHeartRadio app tomorrow at 9 p.m.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm just making sure y'all know that I got a podcast called Carefully Reckless on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and telling y'all other people's business too. It ain't no limits to the things I talk about. Y'all know that if y'all know me. From baby mama drama to healthy relationships, from child support to stimulus checks. Look, when you take a step back and you realize that we all go through crazy stuff and we got stories to tell, those situations do not define you. But they do make for a real good conversation. In a world where clickbait and cancel culture can tell your story before you do, I'm creating an outlet to remind people that we still human, crazy, and we can all laugh about it. Don't stress over it. Bring your problems to me. I promise I won't judge you, but I might crack a joke or two. Don't be scared. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. Just make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Yo, did you see our girl Cardi, Queen Cardi?
Yeah. Shout out to Cardi.
She expressed interest on Twitter about running for office one day.
I did see that. And then Bernie Sanders, they asked him about it.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, absolutely, Cardi should fucking run for office.
Because she had came out and like endorsed him early on like last year.
Right.
And he had like, you know, he heard about it and he was like, oh, let's sit. They sat down and had like a legit chat.
Talk.
Like,
you know
what I mean? And she's like, she would actually surprise a lot of people as far as, excuse me, she would surprise a lot of people as far as like knowledge that she actually has. She's not like, she has like, a lot of people would judge her simply for like how she talks or her accent or whatever. But I mean, like, she's a very smart person.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I mean, she couldn't be any worse than half the politicians we got now. Like,
This is interesting to me because I've seen a lot of people, because, of course, like you said, like the way she talks, the way she presents herself, her brand isn't like, you know, the brand that we would think of when we think of politics. But I think that that's problematic. Because we think of politicians as like these like polished, you know, traditionally educated people. But maybe we should start to think of, you know, representative government in the way that we think of Cardi B, fiercely honest, working class, yep, plain speaking people, you yeah know what I mean, who, you know, who also have like the charisma thing that draws yeah, she's people a in.
Child of an immigrant.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. Like she's a child of both, I think both her parents are immigrants. So like right, she's a child of immigrants, you know what I mean? She's a person who is very intelligent, can come from, she, you know, she comes from a working class background.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I mean, what worse has she done in her past compared to fucking, you know, fucking, what's his name, is a my man Romney's in a damn cult. He's a Mormon. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
Mitt like, Romney.
Like, I mean, and like they families, like fucking JFK people's money came from bootlegging.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I think there is, like, you know, obviously you see a lot, you've seen shit where people thought it was a joke and
yeah,
it's like, oh, because, you know, the way she tossed and all that kind of stuff, and then she was a stripper. Yeah. And like, it's like, I don't care how she dresses. Mm-hmm. Or, and like, what is her policy? Like, you know what I mean?
That's the thing. Like, what's her policy? What is her, would her intention? Do I think Cardi's going to stop being the biggest rapper in the world to be a politician?
Yeah, I doubt it.
Who fucking knows? I doubt it, but who knows? You know yeah what I'm saying? I would rather see that than this continuous line of Ivy League educated predators
yeah
that we've had as politicians. CLR James wrote a piece years ago, probably in like the fucking 40s or 50s or some shit. CLR James, the great Caribbean communist thinker, wrote a piece called Every Cook Can Govern. And it was about representative democracy mm-hmm in ancient Greece, but that as a model for a broader representative government amongst like the working class, you know, for yeah for contemporary times. So this idea that strippers and, you know, trash truck drivers and, you know, people in the community, you know, people who own a deli or whatever yeah would have or should have the power in representative government to represent the interests of the working class is not a radical idea. It's definitely not, maybe it's radical as in it challenges the status quo and the power structure, but it's not an idea that is without precedent.
No, I mean, we've seen AOC be attacked for being a bartender. Well, what did she know? She was a bartender.
Right. What do you have to know
yeah,
to like, be? I'm not saying you don't have to be savvy and it's you don't have to be smart, but what makes a stripper turned rapper or, you know, a bartender turned congressperson not smart
yeah
and not savvy? These people, I don't mean to jump in, but these people who started with their parents were Ivy League educated and who had a fucking house in the Hamptons and the best they get to, you started at 10 yeah and the best you get to is in Congress. Like, why aren't we looking at, you know, those people as people who underachieved or whatever? Because yeah they come from a certain class background.
Yeah, well, they start on third base and think they hit a triple. Like,
come
it's
on
legit an idea of, like, come well, on I worked really hard to get here. No, I mean, you had every yeah advantage in life.
Right.
Like, and you're no smarter than, the like, she could be just as politically aware being a stripper or being a bartender or being a trash truck driver or being a dude who works in a morgue. Like, you're no better than those people.
Right.
You just have advantages that, you know, a working class person does not have.
Right.
I watched that documentary. Did you see that documentary, Knocking Down the House or Knock Down the House?
No.
They it's on Netflix. It's a it follows AOC and three other candidates who were running for office through like this progressive, and Bernie was the impetus for it. Like mm-hmm his working class campaign in 2016 was like what inspired a bunch of these people to then start working with this company it's not a company but like this organization that like pushes progressive ideas mm-hmm and finds like working class candidates
right
to become like to run for office.
Right.
And AOC was the only one who won her race, But you know, there was a sister who was like a nurse, and then there was another sister who like daughter died of because they couldn't afford medical care for her.
Yeah.
Like legit had a she was she came into the hospital and said she was having symptoms of a heart attack.
Fuck.
And they didn't believe her, and because she had no insurance, they wouldn't run the test for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she died.
How many people does that happen to?
Exactly. Like throughout this country? Thousands of people a year.
Yeah.
That happens to. Tens of thousands of people a year that happens to.
And there's no one, there's the money that blocks, you know, the political will, quote unquote, to make healthcare universal. But even like the like personal, like experiential knowledge to be like, oh, I've had people in my family, you know, who have struggled with not having health care. A lot of these politicians who are like the right candidates,
yeah,
they ain't never had to deal with that shit. Nope. What the fuck is Joe Biden have to deal with, you know, other than people calling him on his own bullshit? That's the only shit that I've seen that he's like dealt with. People calling him out on his own bullshit.
He said in the debate the other day, he was like, you know, I know what it is to have to worry about paying for child care. You know, when my son's mom died, his first wife died,
right,
and his daughter died in a car accident. When he was like, oh, I was just a freshman senator.
Holy shit, I never knew that.
He had two young boys too, and he was like, well, you know, I was a freshman senator. I just basically just sworn in. He was like, you know, I was only making $42,000 a year. It's like, that sounds like that's a hardship.
Yeah.
Until you realize he got elected in like 72.
Right.
And $42,000 a year in 72 is like $250,000 a year now.
Right.
So you could definitely afford childcare.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, not saying it wasn't like an emotional.
No, oh, you know, that's not
trauma.
It.
Absolutely.
The emotional trauma, absolutely. The fact that he tried to play it off and go, yeah, well, you know, it was really hard, you know, to pay for childcare. It's like you were making like $250,000 a year, basically.
Yeah. And childcare wasn't as expensive then. No. As it is now, even like if you adjusted the numbers, I'm sure of it.
No, and you had his benefits in government are like spectacular,
right?
You know what I mean? They have like this gold plan. AOC was talking about it before. Mm-hmm. It was AOC or Ilhan Omar, but one of them was talking about like, you know, like you should see our healthcare, like what we're offered, and right, blah blah blah. Like we don't pay for any of it. Like, right, you know what I mean? It's part of our package.
Why can't that happen across the board?
It can. It's just too much. There's dudes like Cory Booker who are taking money from every, you know, healthcare, every big everything through Big Pharma, and like that's why that shit. That's why we can't afford. That's why we don't have healthcare.
Right.
Because money, like greed and profit, is the only reason why we don't have universal healthcare.
Yeah. Abolish the private healthcare system.
Absolutely.
Straight up. So, yeah, I think that just to tie it back to the Cardi B thing, I think that it's cool that she threw that out there in the mix. I don't know how serious she was.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem like a person who says shit that she don't believe.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? She say what she feel. But I think that it's cool because I think that even beyond like this election and any of that stuff that comes along with it, I think that what we have to start doing is expanding our political imagination.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that, you know, politics shouldn't just be the job of these polished Ivy League or like privileged people or people who come from like wealthy backgrounds. Yeah. We got to like take this shit back down to like grassroots in a money sense and get, you know, like the private money out, but then also in a grassroots sense that like politics is something that regular people who aren't polished, who aren't traditionally educated, can handle as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you look at a sister like Rashida Tlaib, and she was protesting Trump during inauguration and like going to his rallies and protesting him, and then she became a member of Congress.
Right.
Like, you right. Like these things are not unachievable. It's right. That you have to believe that, again, we have, like you said, we have to change our view of that. Mm-hmm. We can't look at somebody and go, oh, they're just a nurse, they can't be a congressperson.
Right.
Like, no, they absolutely should be a congressperson.
Right.
Because you can't be like a career politician type person, mm-hmm. and then have any kind of relatable interest to people who like are working class. They were talking about that person who was who Trump had insulted, like the lady's husband, and he was the longest sitting member of Congress. And she took his position. It's like, that's great, and like, you know, that's fucked up. He should not have said something. You know, he basically said like the dude might have been in hell, and that's fucked up when he just died, right?
Yeah,
that's a fucked up thing to do.
Also, hell's not real.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, but the whole fact of the matter is, like, let's examine the fact that he's been in like Congress for like 40 years, and
it's fucking crazy.
And then he died, and his wife then ran and took his position. Like, what is the, like, what's the connection to, like, anybody in her base when they don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they talk about that in that documentary, that the dude AOC was running against didn't even live in the Bronx and Queens.
Oh,
like,
wow.
He lived in Jersey or some shit like that.
How's,
like,
that possible?
Like, he didn't never live there. And they, like, they would say, like, they were showing, and he would, like, show up for, like, certain stuff. Like, he showed up for, like, the gay pride parade.
Right.
And they were like, oh, people were like, oh, it must be election time because he's like popping into the neighborhood.
Fuck, wow.
And so, like, I think in the long run, we really have to start moving away from like these career politicians, people who are like career Washingtonians, and move in much more of like actual, like a representative democracy. If we're going to continue down this path, we have to have a representative democracy, and that means a legit representative democracy of people who actually come from these areas and these communities.
Come about the mud.
And can actually represent these people because they have an idea of what they, you know, what they are.
Right. And that, you know, hold motherfuckers accountable. And there should be term limits.
Absolutely.
I don't want to get too, you know, like, this is serious politics shit, but, like, there should be term limits. And there should be immediate recall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You fucking up, the people should be able to be like, nah, you out of here.
We pull
the lever, get you the fuck out of here.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, why are we continuing to support this, like, all of these, like, mechanisms that keep people in power forever and keep them unaccountable to, you know, to the people?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be that way.
No, and to continue the idea of, like, growing and, like, better understanding our surroundings and, like, changing our how we view things. Recently, Will Smith, you know, he's out promoting the new Bad Boys movie. And he was talking recently about him not being able, when he was younger, to handle the relationship between Pac and Jada.
Oh, he was talking about being, like, jealous.
Yeah, being jealous and, like, just, like, feeling awkward toward their relationship. And, like,
you the Fresh Prince, though, dog?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was, like, there was a certain thing of, like, you know, he felt, like, hype about that. But in the long run, like, they had a connection that's, like, you know, 10 years before that.
Right.
But he talked about, like, you know, I was in the room with Pac several times and we never spoke. Because I couldn't allow my ego to let down long enough to go talk to him.
Yeah.
And he definitely was not going to talk to me if I didn't talk to him.
Right.
Shit. So he was just like, you know, he was like, now I regret all that. Like, you know what I mean? There's no way to go back.
Yeah, he gone.
Yeah. And he was like, you know, I just think that, like, it's important to be, you know, as a human being, like, you have to mature and understand that, like, you know, you could be in a relationship with somebody and they can still have a deep connection with another person, and that's perfectly okay. You don't need to feel threatened by it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know I've looked at it in certain ways as I've gotten older of, like, you know, simply in one sense, like, yo, if someone wants to cheat on you, they're going to cheat. Like, there's no way to, like,
there's no amount of,
yeah, like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've known people who have been in, like, like, strict abusive relationships. And like, to the point of, like, being stalked by their partner and all that kind of shit, and they've still found ways to be with somebody if they want to be with
them.
So you can, if someone wants to cheat, they're gonna cheat.
Right.
But in the long run, it is okay for somebody you're in a relationship with to have emotional relationships with other people.
It's essential. I don't want to be with no motherfucker that don't have like a deep friendship or like connection with no other people. They only fuck with you. Some people like that, and I think that it comes from like some kind of like insecurity.
Yeah, definitely.
Where like I want you to only fuck with me. I don't want that shit. Cause you know, I'm not in my younger years, I've been in relationships where I was like emotionally, I don't know if I can say emotionally cheating, but like emotionally being involved, saying shit and doing shit with people who weren't my partner that I wouldn't do if my partner was standing.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Now I absolutely do not do that. You know what I mean? There's no conversation that I have with another woman now that I wouldn't have with my partner standing right there. You know what I mean? Because you grow and you're different. That being said, you know, I have friendships with other people. I have connections with other people. I can talk with other people, whatever. You know, I don't want to be with somebody where I'm like the only motherfucker that they fuck with or, you know, have a connection with. That's weird.
First of all, it's an uncomfortable feeling to be like, I'm your only outlet to do anything.
Puts a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, yo, it's good to like, have somebody go, like if you're in a relationship with somebody, for them to be like, yo, I'm going out, and you'd be like, okay, good. I would love some privacy and peace of, you know what I mean?
Or just alone time.
Yeah.
Or just being alone.
Yeah. Like fire up the Pornhub and do what you need to do. No, but I mean honestly,
beat yourself to death.
But like for real, you do want like, yo, I just want some time. You know what?
Yeah.
I love sitting and watching TV or watching a movie with you. But you know what I really want to do? Watch the show that you really dislike.
Right.
And I want to watch that for a few hours. So please go do whatever you're going to do for a few hours.
I love Melissa to death.
Mm-hmm.
She don't like Martin, dog. You know how much of a strain that is in the back of my mind and in my spirit that I can't like chill and watch Martin with her.
What if you want to watch Purple Rain? She don't like Purple Rain.
She don't like fucking Purple Rain. We not gonna get into a whole bunch of shit that she don't like that makes me mad. But like,
I'm just saying, like, what if you have these feelings? You're like, I really want to watch Martin right now.
Right.
And she's just like, I don't want to watch it.
She don't like Martin because her mom didn't like it
when
she was little. So I think her mom like soured her on it.
Yeah.
And Martin's the funniest shit. It's some shit that Martin is corny. Like, I get that. But, like, I'll pop on Martin and she legit. She'll, like, groan at Martin. I'm like, come on, yeah.
I had an ex who used to do that with shit. I was like, she hated Always Sunny.
Really?
Yeah. She was like, I don't see what you see is funny about
such
this.
Such a good show.
What else was I watching? She hated. She didn't like Arrested Development.
I was never crazy about Arrested Development.
What else? Something else I was watching, and she was just like, this isn't good, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like,
you don't like none of my shit.
No, and she was like, she was a little younger than me at the time. Yeah. She was like, maybe 9 years younger than me.
And oh, yeah.
I was like late 20s, early 30s, and she was like early 20s.
That's a whole different culture.
Yeah. Like like, she was like, you know, she was still heavy into, like, yo, I'm watching Maury every day.
Oh, shit.
And, like, I work night shift, so, like, we would be home. We would be in the crib together, like, yeah, you know what I mean, during the day. And she was like, you know, well, let's watch Maury. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch fucking Maury. I've seen all this shit before.
Right.
Like, maybe not this one, but I've seen the other 9,000 that are just like this one.
Right.
Like, I did watch it Maury while I was in high school type shit. Like, I'm not doing that now. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that wasn't my wave, and that was definitely, like, her wave. Of like, I used to have to, like, put her on the shit. Like, she hadn't seen Love Jones before.
Ooh, yeah.
Shit like that. She actually stole my Love Jones.
Oh, shit.
She stole my Love Jones.
It's a high crime right there.
Yeah, she stole my Love Jones. She stole Point Break. And
is that the
Keanu Reeves Kurt Russell John? Kurt Russell.
I was thinking of some shit with like John Cusack in it.
Nah, this is the John where Keanu Reeves is the FBI agent. He was an old football player, and like there was like they were like surfers.
What?
And they would go around and like rob banks to like to like finance their life of surfing. No, that's one of the greatest movies of all time.
I'm convinced you're just making this shit up. You're like, all right, it's Keanu Reeves. They're FBI agents, and they surf, and they rob banks.
No, I'm telling you, you
and then they
check
went to the
out.
Moon. Like, wait, what?
Gotta check it out. It's one of the greatest
Point Break.
Ever.
Okay,
Point Break.
I've never seen that before.
It's not Kurt Russell. It's the other dude. I think it's a dude who died.
Oh,
who kind of looks like Kurt
Russell.
I was
going to say Gary Busey.
No, Gary Busey's in it, though.
Of course he is.
he's Keanu Reeves' partner as the FBI partner. And this is before Busey was like really out there.
This is like
semi out there.
Teetering on the edge.
Gary
yeah.
Busey. Wow. His hair is like semi combed. Like, right, you know right, what I mean?
Right. Holy shit.
Yeah, she stole like a couple of movies. Like, I mean, stole is relative, but like she has a bunch. She still has a bunch.
Back.
Yeah,
she didn't
give a bunch of my DVDs back. But yeah, I mean, like I don't want a partner who's just like they have no other outlets.
Yeah.
Like you should be able to have outlets. Go do what you want to do. I want to go do something you may have no interest in, and that's perfectly okay. Like, you know, or you don't have. You know, or you have shit that I do not give a fuck about.
Right. Go do your thing.
Go do your thing. We both can have our own shit. Yeah. You have friends that I don't like, but you like them. Go ahead.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's perfectly okay.
I appreciate Lissa's friendship with Char.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I like, she'll be telling me about, like, stuff that they go do. And because I love her, it makes me happy that she loves Char and Char loves her, and that they have a friendship that's healthy and they love each other.
Just go enjoy yourself, go have fun, blah, blah, blah. Like, all that stuff is healthy. I think we've, like, and I think Will and them, you know, they do the Red Table Talk, Will and Jaden, like, I think they touch on a lot of this stuff sometimes. It's just like, it is very healthy for, like, people to have other intimate relationships. That in intimate relationships does not have to necessarily mean sexual or anything like that. It could just be, you know, an intimate relationship where you share shit with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's important to have those kind of things. It's important to have them outside of a relationship because it actually helps you build up in a relationship. If you understand having another intimate relationship, you can understand having one that actually includes like sincere intimacy of like sexual intimacy. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's really important like to do that. And I think it's dope that Will is able to talk about that now.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think it's dope that like, you know, we have Will and Jada, like whatever, you know, I think they're both Scientologists. Not really sure, but they are, you know, a lot of people talk about like, oh, you know, the exam, you know, relationship goals in a post like Beyonce and Jay-Z. Meanwhile, like Jay-Z was out there cheating and running wild. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, there's all these talk about like, oh, like they're like Will and Jada are in an open relationship and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, first of all, that's their, they're just, okay with it.
It's consensual.
Yeah. That's awesome. Why like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, we don't look at them more as, like, yo, that's, like, relationship goals. Like, they're supportive of each other completely. They love each other sincerely.
And they challenge each other. Like, it seems like just seeing them talk, you know, with each other and about each other, it seems like, because, you know, you can have, like, a yes man on your team, you know, and that don't help anybody.
No.
But it seems like they push each other.
Yes.
And they challenge each other, which is important. I'm still dealing with that. A partner who was like, well, you did X, Y, Z. You should have did it this way or whatever. And not on like no nitpicky shit, but on some like, I love you and I want you to be better shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not an easy.
No, that's a humbling thing. You have
to
be humble.
It's not an easy thing to rock out with.
Yeah, you have to be humble enough to like take criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And to take criticism from like some of your closest people is one of the hardest things to do, because it's easy to have somebody from the outside go, oh, this, that, and the third.
I mean,
and you go,
fuck
you.
Is.
Like,
I know
fuck
that
you
bull.
Know. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to like take criticism from somebody who's intimately close to you is a difficult thing.
Yeah. I'm interested. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm interested as you and I work on more stuff. This podcast, like we did other stuff before.
Yes, yeah.
But this podcast has been very casual. I'm interested to see, and I think about this, what our friendship is going to be like as we get more in the trenches and the stakes go up. Part of me is like a perverse part of me. I'm like, I wonder what's going to happen. You know what I mean? But then another part of me is like, I wonder what our friendship is going to look like because we're going to be doing friendship in a different way and doing business together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In a different
it,
way.
It can be really hard on a friendship.
We're going to fucking see.
Yeah. We've seen like plenty of rap groups break up. You know what I mean? Who were like the closest of close. And then like, they don't speak to each other. Like, dog, Tretch and Vinny don't speak to each other. Last time
that's
I heard.
It's insane to me.
They perform on the stage together and then walk different ways.
Dog, once like Pete Rock and CL broke up in 95, it was all bets off for me. You know what I mean? I mean, seeing that shit, I was like, man, anything could happen.
It's weird to see like the Far Side like tour under different names. And, like, they're half of them tours one name, half of them tours another name. So it can definitely be a grind on friendships. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest part is what Will was talking about being honest and being, you know, checking one's ego at the door. Mm-hmm. And like, so if I say something to you that isn't necessary, like if I say like, yo, I think we should do it this way, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You not having it going like, well, he's trying to challenge
defensive,
me.
Yeah.
Like it's not that. Like, you know, one time I posted something on social media because I generally run most of our social media, do most of the posting.
I'm going to do better about that.
No, but I'm not saying it for those reasons. No, I'm saying it in general.
I know where you're going, but yeah.
And you pulled it down, and I asked you, yo, did you pull something down? Because I know I posted it. Mm-hmm. And you were like, yeah, you know, I meant to tell you about that. I just don't think blah, blah, blah. And like, it took a second for me to go, yeah, you know what? You're right.
I could feel that heat off of you, too. Yeah. And you like, were like, just text it.
Yeah, and I was just like, at first it was like, yo, like Bob, and then it was like, no, but you're right. Like I when you made your point of view, at first it was just like, why would you take something down like out of the blue? But then when you say something and you go like, yeah, this is the reason why I did it. Mm. It's like, yeah, you know what? You're right.
And that was my fault because I should have asked you before I did that.
Yeah, and that's cool. The whole point though is we were honest with each other and said like, well, why, like what happened? Like, you know, you were able to say like, this is why I did it. And it wasn't like, yo, I just did it. Like, you know what I mean?
Or, which is fucked up.
Yeah, you just were like, yeah, I did it. And I meant to tell you. You just like, you said that immediately. Like, oh, that's my fault. I meant to tell you I was going to do that, take that down, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Because then it happened one time where I put something up. I must just never post it. And I asked you, like, yo, did you take something down, blah, blah, blah? Yeah. And you were like, no.
Yeah. I would never do that twice.
And I was just like, yeah. I mean, like, it just must have never posted. It was, you know, fucking all kinds of glitches and shit like that can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was just like, those type of things, but that's a good check on ourselves of being like, yo, I think you should do this, that, and the third, blah, 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 or we should do it this way.
Right.
I think we've done that generally okay, where like we've had ideas about stuff and you're like, yo, I think we should do it this way, or I'm like, yo, I think maybe we do it this way. It's a little easier. I mean, we've done, like, early on, you wanted to run music on the podcast in the background.
How about that?
And I was like, oh, man, I've heard podcasts that are like that, and I don't think they generally work really well because I think it could be distracting.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That would have been a bad idea.
And again, it's not something where I'm like, you're wrong. I'm just saying, like, I think my opinion is this. Like, you know what I mean? I think it's important to be that way. I think it's important to be honest and open. And that includes in all your relationships. Like, you can't have a good relationship with your partner and not be honest with them.
Yeah.
Because it affects things. Like, you know what I mean? It really does.
Yeah. Shout out to Will for being as open as he is. He's on a different.
Yeah.
He's on a different level. Like, he's learned some shit. You could tell by how he talk. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He's like on some other shit. But shout out to him for even being like, how do I want to say, an example of someone in hip hop culture and as a man, you know, who's also emotionally open. You know what I mean? I feel like that's something that we didn't really get to see as much. Definitely not on the level that he's giving it out now.
No, and hip hop is very machismo and, like, you know what I mean? Super male and alpha male type thing. Yeah. So to be open and honest, I mean, I think that's part of what really attracted so many people to Pac is Pac being open and honest.
Right.
And like, that is a rare thing. People don't get to see that very much. So, you know, admitting your flaws or, you know, being able to say, like, you know, oh, you know, I'm a vulnerable person. Like, right. You know what I mean? And I'm vulnerable emotionally. Those things resonate now with me, like, yeah. more than anything. Like, as I've grown and learned to be way more, like, open to my own emotions and ideas and not be like, yo, I've never seen a rapper sick. Why do I have a cold? Like, you know what I mean? Like, these are ideas I've actually had when I was younger. Like,
it's crazy.
I've never seen Jay-Z sick. Why do I gotta be sick? Like, you know what I mean? But, like, Jesus. It's like, those things are not seen. Like, we're not open and not emotional. Like, that's what, I mean, I think what so many people loved about Jay-Z's 444 is right. that it was so emotionally vulnerable and so open and shit like that.
Yeah.
People want to hear those things, whether like I think we've grown to a point where like it's perfectly okay to do that. You know right. what I mean?
Absolutely. Before we go any further, let's jump into break number two.
Yep.
And then we'll come back. And I think we're at like 48 minutes now.
Yeah. I mean, we have one little short thing we can talk about and then hit our albums.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Talk about some music. All right. We will be back.
News with a new perspective.
I'm Morgan Wood in Washington, D.C.
News with a black perspective.
I'm Mike Stevens in Tampa.
The Black Information Network is the first all-news audio and digital network
for and by the black community.
Dedicated to 24/7 news and information.
I'm Julius White in Atlanta.
Get the podcast and get the biggest news and business stories delivered to you every morning.
I'm Vanessa Tyler in New York.
Subscribe to the Black Information Network daily.
And wake up with the latest from the Black Information Network.
Loaded and ready to go when you are.
With reporters across America bringing you the latest news, traffic, weather, and sports.
I'm Doug Davis from Las Vegas.
Delivering breaking news that puts us first.
Because our insight matters.
Our stories matter.
And the truth matters.
And the Black Information Network Daily is designed to inform, engage, and empower the black community.
Now is our time.
Listen to the Black Information Network Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Yo, 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 right back. So it's interesting. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this week announced its 2020 class of inductees.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney Houston, Depeche Mode, a bunch of like brilliant, talented people.
I'm not a big Whitney fan, right?
Huh. That's interesting.
I mean, I respect like she can sing, right?
Oh, she got the vocals. Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no like, I just, you know, it's like, yeah. I never was a Gabrielle Union fan as an actress. Like,
I love Gabrielle Union. You see, I don't know why.
I never dug. I love her more now just for like what she's done with like being so accepting, like with Dwayne Wade's kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like those kind of things. I only like her more. Yeah.
Whitney Houston, you know, Whitney's the shit. I fuck with Whitney, but I also acknowledge that we're not exactly Whitney's demographic.
Yeah, exactly. we're not the core audience. So.
But they also announced, you know, somebody who we are absolutely the demographic for, the late great Christopher Wallace, Biggie Smalls.
Biggie Smalls was the illest.
Yeah, yo, definitely well deserving. Every time they do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, there's like this like small minority class of like rock fans who are like, Biggie Smalls not rock and roll. Like we all get it. Like we get that it's not limited to just like white guys with guitars.
I mean, honestly, at that point, it should just be like, well, it's a music hall of fame, not music the rock and roll hall of fame.
They represent somebody who made an impact on popular music.
Yeah,
absolutely, Biggie should be in this shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? The other people that they named should be in it too. You know what I'm saying? But like also Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
He's a master at his craft who was cut down, you know,
way too young.
Really, yeah. Probably, which is scary, probably before he hit his prime.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Which is fucking terrifying to think on like an MC level.
Because if you think about it in the same sense, like him and Jay are around the same age.
Mm-hmm.
Because they went to high school together. So they're definitely around the same age.
Yeah.
And Reasonable Doubt is a classic and it's a great album.
Yeah.
But he generally, for me, my favorite album is Blueprint.
Right.
Because I just think it's like more well-rounded. Mm-hmm. It's like him thought out process. So it's like,
Jay, was he like 30 when the Blueprint came out?
No, he probably had to be like 35.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he's 26 when Reasonable Doubt comes out. Mm. And... that's like 96. Blueprint comes out 2001. So maybe 30. Around 31, 32.
Yeah. I feel like he was early 30s when the record came out.
Which is definitely a space in your life where you've experienced a lot more stuff and you've done a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
Like you figured at that point, Biggie would have experienced so much more of the world and done so many more things. And what his like ability, I mean, his ability to be a storyteller already was... at like top notch level.
24 years old.
Yeah. So you figure you do that and then add in so much more life experience. Like, yeah. I mean, what we're getting is like we could have gotten so much more. Yeah. You know what I mean?
If the industry didn't like if 50 Cent, you know, came out with Get Rich or Die Trying, and if, you know, the pressures of the industry didn't make big kind of make some like artistic choices to like follow behind trends or whatever, dog, he would have been making like crazy records. Imagine like the post 9/11 Biggie record.
Yeah.
Whatever that would have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
It whether it been somber or like celebratory or whatever. Whatever he would have done in response to that event. Like imagine that shit. You know what I mean? Like the shit that Hov was doing. I love, like, the Dynasty and shit like that. Like, the shit Hov was doing around that time. Like, imagine if Big would have got together with, like Jay did with State Property, of a room full of lions that he ain't have to write for.
Yeah.
Because Big had Junior Mafia, but he's writing the whole fucking thing. You know what I mean? Imagine if Big had that shit. Or if him and Jay, I was listening to I Love the Dough the other day. Super dope fucking song.
So imagine we get a What a Time to Be Alive, but it's Jay-Z and Big.
Best of both worlds, Jay and Big,
exactly,
instead of nut-ass R. Kelly. Dog, Jay and Big, because I Love the Dough came on YouTube, and then Brooklyn's Finest came on right after it.
Yeah.
The algorithm knows hip-hop, apparently. And I'm just sitting, I'm thinking like, damn, Jay and Big together was like fucking gold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That shit, Young G's, you know what I mean? The shit with Puff on it. Even Puff kind of came off. You know what I'm saying? Like, even
so
Puff.
Baby Sauce?
Yeah. Like
Sauce Buddy came off on that chain, essentially?
Right. It dude, that just sound like a Sauce verse, too.
I think it's a Sauce verse.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, just thinking about his potential is crazy to me. But, like, absolutely. It's not even a conversation whether or not he deserves this accolade. It's not even – he deserves all the fucking accolades. The man was a genius at 24, 25 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's sad that we lost him so early, but it is very, very dope that he is getting the accolades he deserves.
Absolutely.
And the love he deserves. I mean, it's weird because it's like, you know, honestly, he could have been in that shit 20 years, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. Like,
right.
So it is a situation where it's like, you know, but it's good to see. I would love to see who's going to induct him,
right.
And who they're going to have to like pay tribute, because you know those bands, like they do like the thing, the show, they always have like people there to play tribute to those people. So I'm really interested to see who they
have.
Who
would you get to induct them?
I think you have to have Jay in some aspect.
Yeah. I would love to see Kim.
Yeah, I would love to see Kim up there.
Yeah.
I wonder who else. I know Beans is a huge fan of Big. Like Beans was Big was Beans' favorite rapper.
Yeah.
Beans,
I don't think that this is talked about much. If you listen to early Beans, even like his Patterns,
yeah,
he was really like the rebirth of Big.
Yeah.
He took it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And grew into like fully his own MC, and you know, to where it's other people followed behind Beans and kind of took from Beans' influence. But really, you listen to like a lot of that shit that he was doing with like the Figures, like those mixtapes and shit, and like the Best of Beans shit. A lot of his shit, really, you could tell was mirrored after Big's Patterns and shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Definitely.
I mean, he went out for the role of Biggie in the movie.
I remember that. I wouldn't want to watch. I love Beans. I wouldn't want to watch him play. They got the boy that they should have got.
Yeah, part of the problem is it would have been Beans to me. Like, it's
yeah,
not Big,
it's like,
Beans.
Oh, you see that Beans movie? Yeah, yeah. It would have. Yeah.
So I definitely would love to see maybe Beans up there. I'm trying to think who in like a younger generation
that could like do the there. Tribute thing.
Yeah, it's gotta be somebody smooth and
yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think.
Can't get Tyga to do like Big Papa.
No, let's not do that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I have anybody in my mind right now as like a younger dude.
Yeah.
Who could come out and do a good Beans.
Definitely C. Cole doing it.
Yeah.
Definitely
maybe.
C. Cole doing it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I thought about Kendrick, but I don't think that really fits.
Yeah, yeah.
Their styles are just Kendrick's style is so much more chaotic and shit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know right now. Maybe like you said, J. Cole, he's smooth.
Right.
Got
the storytelling aspect.
Yeah, and his style is much more low key. Like Big wasn't like Big was flashy in a sense, but wasn't like he's not Buster exuberant. Yeah,
he was
like,
still
chill,
laid back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it depends on like the songs they would want to do for a tribute too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe get like I don't know. Like you could I'm spitballing here, but like you could get like Young MA to do like the what?
That's
you
actually a
saying?
Really dope idea because of the Brooklyn connection.
Yeah.
There's
so many young rappers in Brooklyn now. Like this like popping off Pop Smoke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know if the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would get Pop Smoke. I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? But yeah, there's definitely. And Biggie's like beloved, you know what I'm saying. You could get as much as
I actually really like the Young MA idea. Yeah,
I think it. I said like, oh, I'm spitballing, but I in the back of my mind, I was like, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
you
I
know
really
what I'm
like
saying?
That
that's
Young
a good
MA
idea.
Idea.
Yeah, yo,
really like that. Yeah. So I mean, like you know, shout out to I'm really excited and shout out to Big. You know what I mean? And his legacy. You know
yeah,
what
rest
mean?
In peace. Shout out to his family.
Yes.
You know what I mean? His kids.
I'm sure, Faith will be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure Faith will be there.
Absolutely.
We can get into like what we're talking about. This, what you know, what we listened to this week. I think
music.
That's yeah. I think we can get to our music this week.
Yeah, yeah. We're about at an hour. You know what I mean? I'm gonna make some edits. So you know, but so yeah, Redman put out a new joint, and I guess you could call it an EP.
It's, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it's called Three Joints.
Yeah.
It's a three-song EP. The last song, I'm not really digging all that much. The second joint.
Yeah, I don't really like the last joint either.
Man,
it's not it.
The slap the shit out you, that shit, that's the one.
I love it because it's fun Redman. Like, that's,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's
I could
the
play
Redman
that
I remember.
At the function.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I'm doing like a set, like warming it up a little bit, you know what I mean? People ordering drinks and coming in, I could play that. You know what I mean? The first one kind of reminds me of the Rockwaller.
It's basically the same Pete.
Yeah, it has that it has that vibe to it. That shit's cool. It's like what a little whatever.
Yeah.
But apparently he's putting out the Muddy Waters too.
Yeah, I heard.
So that. We may come back and talk about that if he puts it out. You know.
Yeah.
What I mean?
It's. I mean, one thing I will say is Red ain't lost a step.
That motherfucker can out rap.
Yeah.
Anybody listening to this shit.
Yeah. He ain't.
You know
lost
what I'm saying?
Step.
He out rap all of y'all. So. He still got it in that respect. It's just, you know, like anything, it's like putting out, you know, like good songs.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Getting good beats. That's one of the problems of a lot of older artists. They don't get the dope beats.
They got to link them. I wish I could have, you know, like Airbnb is like the middleman between you and like renting a crib somewhere, you know what I mean, or like a place to stay. I wish I could middleman old dope rappers with like young beat niggas.
Yeah.
I middleman like young beat niggas and young rappers all the time. You know what I mean? Like I am not above. It's my pleasure to be like, yo, you should link with my man. You know what I mean? Like I love doing that shit. Mm-hmm. And then they make some shit.
Yeah,
I love that shit. Shout out to Roll Gold. You know what I mean? Like I've linked cats to Roll Gold. Like yo, that's my man. He got dope beats. I love that shit. I would love to link.
Somebody just reached out to you on Twitter about linking them
with Wino Willie.
Yeah, Wino Willie.
The boy Sleep Sinatra.
Yeah.
Who's
a
dope fucking MC.
Mm-hmm.
And Wino Willie's a dope producer. You know what I mean? I love that shit. I would love to link old niggas that rap with like young niggas that got beats. Or like old niggas that got beats. Just like people who got beats. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm linking everybody with Cassidy.
No. Shout out to Cassidy. That shit.
Everybody with Cassidy.
I have mixed feelings about the Cassidy thing because Cassidy, people have been grinding Cassidy up this week because he's been like making beats on IG. His beats ain't hitting yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That shit's hard, dog. It's hard to like make a beat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why a lot of niggas' beats is trash.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Cass for learning a new skill. You know what I'm saying? He mastered the rapping thing. You know what I mean? I've never been a Cassidy fan.
Yeah.
But he mastered rapping. I admit that fully. You know what I'm saying? So he taking a new. I was trash when I started making beats.
Yeah.
I was trash when I started DJing.
Because you got to go through the grind, though.
Come on. I came out. I could rhyme when I came out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? My first rhyme was a heater.
Yeah.
But the other crafts, you got to be whack first.
Exactly. You know? It takes a long time.
Right.
1,000 hours, yo. 10,000 hours.
10,000. I wish it was 1,000. I would go like, I don't know. I would learn like Kung Fu right now if it was 1,000 hours.
Also, you listened to the new Raekwon joint, right?
Yeah. Raekwon put out a joint, I think today.
Okay.
Called The Appetition.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-track joint as well. You know, this shit is cool. You know what I mean? I want to say the joint Solid Gold is real dope. The beats are cool. You know, some of it is like has like a modern sound to it.
Uh-huh.
Some of it has like the woo sample bass sound to it. But they made this thing in like 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah. They like he went in the studio with some producers and they just knocked it out
Word.
In 3 days. And like I mentioned last week when I interviewed him, he said that he was putting out a new joint. This was just like a teaser.
Yeah.
And he's going to put out like a new full length this year. So,
but I love this wave of like dudes putting out like 3 or 4 songs.
Yeah, just throwing
and then
out
dropping
there.
A whole, you know what I mean? Dropping a whole record.
That's what independent artists have been doing, putting out like a little teaser. You know what I mean? So, you know, the joints on The Appetition, I'm not crazy about. But he's spitting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
he's spitting.
Nice
you know what I mean?
That
so,
Marvin Gaye joint he did off the last album was ungodly. Like he's always super nice with the pen.
He got shit, yo. So I'm excited to hear like what the full length is gonna be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know you listened to the whole Eminem album, right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I did not listen to it. No disrespect to M. I know some of y'all, that's my man. You know, I ain't listen to that shit. He put out an album last night.
Yeah.
Or like early this morning or
yeah,
some
last
shit?
Night. I guess it drops like midnight or whatever.
Yeah.
I ain't listening to it.
I'm fully expecting my timeline. Like we've been recording and then we had a call before this. So I haven't been looking at Facebook.
Nah, I haven't been on,
I know my timeline of Facebook and Twitter is probably like niggas just arguing about Eminem.
Yeah, like I woke up and there was like a Jesus Nice sent a shot. You know, send a shout out at Eminem, and I was like, "Oh, Eminem must have dropped a new album."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Otherwise, no. I wouldn't I wouldn't know. And I know, like, when I looked at like what tomorrow's releases, like on my title joint, like M wasn't listed, so I think it's kind of a surprise
joint. Yeah, fuck.
Also, though, what I did check out real quick, just a single was Hank McCoy and Reef the Lost Cause.
Shout out to Reef.
And they dropped a joint called Chestnut Checkers.
Mm.
That's super dope.
Yeah, yeah. Hank McCoy got beats.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Word. Yeah, it was definitely super dope, but definitely check that out.
Yeah.
But other than that, yo, find us on all the social medias at Serious Rap Shit. Serious Rap Shit. And then individually, I'm Indy_SRS. You're John the Liberator.
Mm-hmm.
John underscore the Liberator, right?
Yeah, yeah.
John underscore the Liberator.
I switch it up from time to time.
Yeah. You know, you can find our Abolish Ice hoodies and t-shirts on Incense Trap and Yoga.
Word.
I'm not sure if the hoodies are up yet, but they will be. And the t-shirts are up there. Remember, part of the proceeds go toward helping families separated at the border because, don't forget, there's still kids in cages.
Very true.
Other than that, yo, we'll be back next week with more heat for y'all.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Tomorrow night, it's the biggest night of the year for podcast fans. Our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards.
These are really some of the best and brightest and smartest and most compelling minds in the country.
Celebrate the podcasts we've leaned on for laughs, headlines, stories to get our adrenaline pumping, and voices to comfort us.
This is a huge honor.
We did it!
Thank you to my listeners, because without them, this wouldn't happen.
Don't miss our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. Watch on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook, and listen on our iHeartRadio app tomorrow at 9 p.m.
Ever wonder what kind of job you would have if you were born in a different time? You're in luck, because Jobsolete is a new podcast that just may have an answer for you. I'm Helen Hong.
And I'm Matt Beat. Take a spin through workplaces of the past as we scout history's most interesting jobs in every episode. From the forgotten jobs of history to obscure occupations that still survive, we'll talk with an expert to answer the burning questions, and you'll discover some of the most fascinating and unusual ways people have made a living through the centuries.
And who knows? Maybe you'll find a job you love as a town crier, or switchboard operator, a food taster, or an MTV VJ.
You can listen to Jobsolete on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.